Good morning. Welcome to Broad Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Welcome to the Lord's Supper celebration. And today's Lord's Supper celebration title is, What Are Real Christians Like? What are real Christians like? And you can see the picture, right, of the pious Christian who's got this holier-than-thou look on their face and is walking piously through church, but there's nobody like that here at Barah Ministries. Amen. Bunch of crazies, the biggest collection of loonies in the history of mankind. Well, today, just as we do every month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's a meal of remembrance. It's a way to demonstrate our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We eat by breaking bread, and we drink by tasting the fruit of the vine, and we look back to the cross, which is one of the most significant occurrences of love in divine history. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says this, For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. At the Lord's Supper celebration, as a gathering of his believers, we remember the Lord's death on the cross, which paid for Adam's sin, the sin that is credited to the account of all mankind at physical birth, the sin resulting in spiritual death for all. At the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the shedding of the Lord's blood to cleanse us from the unrighteousness caused by this sin of independence, which was a turning away of creatures from their Creator. We remember with gladness that the Lord Jesus Christ made a way for his creatures to be reconciled to him by dying on a cross and by being resurrected from the dead 3 days later, both to prove that he is deity and to give us the hope of a cure for that unrighteousness that we have at physical birth. And now we believers in Christ know through his infallible word that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated victorious at the right hand of his Father's throne, waiting for the moment when God the Father will make the Lord's enemies a footstool for his feet. And as believers in Christ, we are seated there with him, in union with him, waiting for the glorious time when we come again with him to witness his glory. And we know he made it possible for whosoever, for all creatures, to be saved by what he did at the cross. Now, if you were to ask me which biblical character is my favorite, in fact, which biblical character I am probably most like, there was a time when I would have said I'm like Peter. I've since changed my view, maybe just because I've matured a little bit, or maybe because I've become more thoughtful in my old age. But now I feel more like the Apostle Paul, a murderer. Sorry, just had to throw that in there. But still, my fondness for Peter, I'm serious. You know, when you get older, you're always thinking about who you would like to eliminate, because you figure if you go to jail, there aren't that many years that you would have to serve. You know how it is? But anyway, my fondness for Peter hasn't waned a bit. He is a guy I'll want to meet with and spend time with in heaven and have a beer with him. Why? Because Peter is real. Peter is the person I think of when I think of what a real Christian is like. He was not phony or pretentious. He was not self-righteous like most Christians, those who think Christianity is about being Christ-like, those holding themselves to a standard that they could never attain. I've studied the Bible for 30 years, and I would never deign to think that I was anywhere near Christ-like. Peter was like you and me. And as a fisherman, Peter, much like the fishermen of his day, was gruff, shabbily dressed, outspoken, and a user of vulgar language. He was also very wealthy. The fishermen of the first century were men's men, and Peter was no exception. He was full of passion, and he was very hot-tempered. John chapter 18, verse 10 details Peter's response when the guards were arresting Jesus on the night before he was crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane. Simon Peter then, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. The most endearing part of Peter's personality is that, like me, he had a knack for putting his foot in his mouth. Well, welcome to a place where you can learn about the real people that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for at the cross. People like you and Peter and me, real Christians, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so our opening song is a song about salvation. It's by June Murphy. It's called Born Again.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Once under condemnation, now I have been redeemed. Once in the dark, now in the light, because I have believed in the death and resurrection of the Christ who set me free. I have been born. My Father's mighty hand. I know I've been forgiven of each and every sin, because I have believed in Christ who died and rose again.
Grateful Heavenly Father for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for sending your Son to be tortured and humiliated at the hands of godless men for our benefit. Help us learn to appreciate his gift to us by spreading the gospel message to everyone we meet. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord's Supper celebration, what are real Christians like? What are real Christians like? I can't tell you how many times that people have told me, you know, you're a hypocrite. And I say, well, that's correct. What's your point? You know, because people who are, who think that they're not hypocrites, and I love the Greek word hypocrite. It means talking from behind a mask. You know, people who think that they don't talk from behind a mask, people who don't think that they have a skeleton, a series of skeletons in their closet, are always kind of funny to me because they try to hold themselves to a standard that they cannot maintain. I, on the other hand, have no pretension about being a hypocrite. I know who I really am. I know that I have the flesh in me. I know that my God had the power to remove that flesh at the moment of salvation, and he chose not to. And so I have concluded that there must be a function there. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us what that function is. It's he gave us a thorn in the flesh to keep us from exalting ourselves. And so I don't have any pretenses. And that's what I think real Christians are like. Real Christians, I don't think are phony. They're just kind of regular people. And Peter was a great example to me of what real Christians are like. Now, Peter describes himself in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, and he describes himself this way. Now, it happened that while the crowd was pressing around Jesus and listening to the word of God being taught by Jesus, the Lord was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Luke 5:2, and Jesus saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of the boats and were washing their nets. Luke chapter 5, verse 3. And Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's boat, and asked Peter to pull out a little way from the land. And Jesus sat down in the boat and began teaching the people from the boat. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out your nets into the deep water, and let down your nets for a catch." Luke 5:5. And Simon Peter answered Jesus and said, "Master, we worked hard all day and night and caught nothing." Where's the faith, Peter? "But I will do as you say and let down the nets." Luke 5:6. And when they had done this, they caught so great a quantity of fish that their nets began to break. Luke chapter 5, verse 7. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And the partners came and filled both of the boats with so much fish that the boats began to sink. Luke chapter 5, verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Well, that's us, right? O ye of little faith. I mean, look at the things that are going on in your life and think about what you want and what you would like to happen. Think about what I was talking about in the last lesson, how a friend calls me and says he has prostate cancer, and then 2 weeks later he finds out that he's not actually going to have surgery for prostate cancer. Right? Well, why? Prayer. That's why, because prayer is the cure for cancer. And so I've seen that happen over and over and over again. But real Christians are, O ye of little faith. Peter was bold of speech, yet weak in faith, as are many of us. Yet Peter was a member of the Lord's inner circle. And when the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion, Peter was one of the apostles that the Lord asked to stay up with him and keep watch. And Peter, like all Christians, all real Christians, was self first, and he fell asleep. Mark chapter 14, verses 37 and 38 say this: Jesus came and found Peter, James, and John sleeping. That's his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. James being his half-brother. And Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not even keep watch with me for 1 hour? Mark 14, 38, "Keep on watching and praying so that you may not come into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's us. Inside of us, we want to do the right thing, yet we have the flesh. The flesh, that part of us that hates God, that's antagonistic to us, that's trying to ruin everything meaningful to us. And we just scratch our heads and say, why? Why do I keep doing that? And I have come to know that why is the stupidest question we ask ourselves. Stop asking yourself why you do that. You know why you do it. You have the flesh. And the flesh is always showing you who you are and reflecting who you really are in that flesh to your face. But that's not really who you are. That's the part of you that's going to die when you die physically. And what's going to be left is your soul and spirit, and those things are going to be in the presence of the Lord, and you're going to be in a resurrection body that's created by the Lord. So we learn from our flesh. And what we learn mainly is what not to do. So Jesus knows what we're really like. You've never sneaked one in on Jesus. You know, you may be surprised at how depraved you are, but he is not. And we're often bold and boisterous, yet when the pressure comes, we fold like a tent. So it was with Peter. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34, the Lord Jesus Christ warns Peter about himself. He said, "Simon Peter, Simon Peter, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you apostles like wheat. But I have prayed specifically for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail, and that you, when once you've turned again, will go strengthen your brothers." That's chilling. That is chilling. What the Lord was saying to Peter is, "Peter, Satan's going to sift all of the apostles with my permission. But I'm worried most about you. And I want you to know that you're going to fall flat on your face in this temptation, in this trial. And you're going to get up, you're going to get right back in the game, and then you're going to go evangelize for me. Do you understand?" Well, Peter, of course, did not understand. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, with you, I am ready to go to prison and to death." And Jesus said, I'm telling you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you even know me." And you know what Peter was thinking. Oh, man, come on, dog. It ain't gonna even be like that. Well, like most real Christians, Peter had the best of intentions. Yet when the pressure came, we know what happened to Peter. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75. Under pressure, Peter fell apart in his soul. Matthew 26, 69. "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, 'You too were with Jesus the Galilean.' Matthew 26, 70. But Peter denied it before them and said, 'I don't know what you're talking about.' Matthew 26, 71. When Peter had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' Matthew 26, 72. And again, Peter denied it with an oath. 'I do not know the man.'" Now, what does it mean to deny it with an oath? "I swear to you, I don't know the man." That's the oath. Matthew 26, 73. "And a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk, your dialect of Aramaic gives you away.'" Matthew 26, 74. "And then Peter began to curse and swear and say, 'I don't know the man.' And immediately the rooster crowed." Matthew 26, 75, "And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, 'Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Can you imagine that? Because Jesus was Peter's best friend. Jesus was Peter's Lord. Can you imagine how he felt at that moment that he had betrayed his best friend? And not only that, his friend predicted it. That's got to be the most horrible experience for Peter. Like real Christians, many times we think as Peter did. We think that we're strong, and then we find out that we're weak, and we feel like we are a disappointment to the Lord. Let me make one thing perfectly clear to you. You have never disappointed the Lord. Not once. The Lord's omniscient. He knows all the knowable. He knew every stupid thing you would do before he even created you, and he created you anyway. You have never disappointed the Lord. Well, let's stop for a minute and enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper, and then we'll hear the rest of the real Christian story. So following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is as a person. We drink to remember his work. The voluntary sacrifice he made at the cross on our behalf as our sin substitute. And we are grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ on the night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ as a person. When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after the Passover supper, the cup representing his death on the cross, saying, this cup is a new testament forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink it, do so for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup as part of the Lord's Supper celebration, you proclaim as a reality and you announce the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead until he comes again in the second coming. As you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Now and always, let us keep on giving thanks that we are loved unconditionally and accepted fully by the Lord who is always there, the one we can depend on. Let's keep on being transformed by his life, by his death, by his word. And let's enjoy his unconditional love day by day, which is the name of our Lord's Supper song.
Clearly.
Next is the Music Break song. It's a song written by June Murphy, sung by June Murphy, and talks about how we don't have to seek God out because God comes after us. The song, You Ran After Me.
Seek you out, was lost in the dark, there is no doubt. Jesus, light of the world, eternal truth, Savior, you pursued, then let me choose. Salvation's door. Jesus, you are everything I need. I'm yours. I will follow where you lead. You ran after me. You ran after me. Sought me for.
Thank you, June. The Lord's Supper celebration, what are real Christians like? Real Christians are like Peter, a man who made many mistakes during his lifetime, a man who put his foot in his mouth many times during his lifetime, but in the end, Peter did what the Lord requested. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32 say this, Simon Peter, Simon Peter, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you apostles like wheat. But I have prayed specifically for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail, and that when you, once you have turned again, will go strengthen your brothers. That's what the Lord requested of Peter, and Peter fulfilled the Lord's wishes to strengthen his brothers. You know, one of the funny things about the resurrection of our Lord and Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is that when he was resurrected from the dead, the first person he was looking for was Peter. He wanted to make sure that Peter knew that everything was cool. That's amazing. So in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 42, let's hear what it's like when a real Christian grows up. As Peter goes to strengthen his kinsmen according to the flesh, the Jews. Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. This is Peter talking. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God the Father with miracles and wonders and signs, which God the Father performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. Acts 2:23. This man, Jesus Christ, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God the Father, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, unbelievers, and put him to death. Acts 2:24. But God the Father raised him up again from the dead, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for Jesus to be held in death's power. Acts 2:25. For David says of Jesus, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Christians, he's at your right hand, so you will not be shaken. Acts 2:26, therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope. Acts 2:27, because you, Lord, will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Acts 2:28, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Acts 2:29, brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Acts 2:30, and so because David was a prophet and knew that God the Father had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, that descendant being Jesus Christ. Acts 2:31, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades nor did his flesh suffer decay. Acts 2:32, this Jesus, God the Father raised up again from the dead, to which we, the apostles, were all witnesses. Acts 2:33. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God the Father, and having received from God the Father the promise of God the Holy Spirit, who has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Acts 2:34. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but David himself says, the Lord God the Father said to my Lord Jesus Christ, sit at my right hand. Acts 2:35, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Acts 2:36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God the Father has made Jesus both Lord and the Christ, the Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Acts 2:37, now when the men of Israel heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent. Have a change of mind about Christ. That's what repent means. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:39, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. The gospel message promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And God will call to himself whosoever believes. Acts 2:40. And with many other words, Peter solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from among this perverse generation. This is the guy who betrayed the Lord. This is the guy who betrayed the Lord, evangelizing, just as he was told by the Lord. Acts 2:41. So then those who had received Peter's word were baptized by means of the Holy Spirit, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And that is why we, as real Christians, come together today, to break bread and to know what the Lord has done for us at the cross. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 7 and 8 say this, the grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The Lord in a second could turn our lights off. He has no interest in doing it. Isaiah 48, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. See, he has no interest in doing it, and we have that as a promise. And so we don't cower. We don't fear our God. We simply respect him and we love him just as much as he loves us, because he is amazing. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 says, by the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the ground, because from the ground you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. We are like grass. We are like dust. As real Christians, we are quite imperfect. Yet the cross gave us a hope which we cherish. And what is that hope? Absolute righteousness, credited to our account at the moment of salvation. And God the Father, when he looks at us, he sees us in union with Christ, so he sees us the exact same way he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we come to the Lord's Supper to remind ourselves of. And this is what we come to celebrate. Thank you, Lord, for loving us in our weakness, for knowing the depth of our heart, the depth of the depravity of our heart, and yet loving us the same. Thank you for letting us know what it means to be a real Christian. And what does it mean to be a real Christian? To just be normal. To just accept who we are and to accept who we are not. And to just be real. Let us close in prayer. Almighty God and Father, thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for a billion years ago thinking about us. Thank you for always having us in your mind by name in the past and now and forevermore. And we thank you for allowing us the privilege to be in union with your Son by simply expressing our faith in him. And thank you for guaranteeing us a spot in heaven face to face with our Lord forever. And we just pray that we have the courage at all times in the face of the resistance here in Satan's kingdom to proclaim the gospel message to all who will hear, even when they're rejecting it, knowing that the gospel message is the power of God the Father for salvation to everyone who believes. We ask for your support and your continued guidance through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.